Hello, welcome to the Friday, February 6th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storms and Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Still getting spotty reports about the Flash update for myself and OS X. It yet has to download, so just checked before recording this podcast and still no sight of the latest and greatest version of Flash. Heard similar reports from Windows users, and of course there is no standalone installer. One reader reported that he was able to sort of reconstruct the standalone installer by essentially just recording the download as it happened with the update function in the existing Flash player. So he essentially just recorded download with tcpdump and then extracted a binary from the packet capture. And in other news, we are seeing quite a bit of hits to the Tomcat manager interface in our honeypots. The URL is manager/HTML. Typically, Tomcat is listening on port 8080, but it can listen on other ports as well. And one concern here is also that a lot of sort of appliances and such include Tomcat as one component and may not be configured correctly. So you may want to check quickly on your web servers, whether on port 8080, there is a URL/manager/HTML, and if that's available. By default, actually, Tomcat doesn't set up any users that have access to it, so it's something that you have to manually configure. Also, if you are getting into these configuration files, as a little bonus, what you can do is, by default, the passwords are not hashed. It's just a simple XML file with usernames and passwords. By default, you can actually hash them, and in the diary I gave you little instructions in how to do this. And then there's a lot of news about health insurance Anthem getting compromised and customer data being stolen. I want to take a little bit of different spin here and focus on the things that actually went right in this case. And first of all, they discovered the breach internally. It wasn't an external notification or so, as it's happening so often. Also, apparently, because they did discover it internally, and the reason they discovered it internally was an anomalous database query, they actually discovered it pretty quickly. Now, what happened with the data is, after the attacker accessed it, the attacker then downloaded it to a file sharing account. Not clear what service they used, but something like a Dropbox or such. At this point, it's actually not known whether or not the attacker ever got a hold of the data after they downloaded it to the file sharing service. So this is a lot better, actually, than a lot of the breaches, where it usually takes 6 months or so for them to even realize the data is gone. Now, on the other hand, they are sort of taking the usual line that this was a highly sophisticated attack, that probably China was behind it. I think to really decide that, we'll have to wait for more details, but my suspicion is that it was probably some Chinese kits rather than anything government-sponsored. And if you are running WordPress, make sure you are either not using the FancyBox plugin or that you have the latest version installed, which I believe is now 3.0.4. A zero-day vulnerability in this plugin was widely used to inject iframes into WordPress blocks with malicious code. Apparently, FancyBox has been downloaded 500,000 times, and the plugin allows you to take advantage of sort of these pop-up effects for images. So when you click on an image and then see a larger version of the image after you click on the image itself. And PHP in the past has patched a number of memory corruption bugs, but we haven't really seen a lot of exploitations of these bugs. Typically, if a PHP application gets compromised, it gets compromised because of bugs in the PHP code, not because of bugs in PHP itself. This may change now with a new blog post that illustrates how two recently patched vulnerabilities, in particular CVE-2015-231, which was patched very recently, can be used and exploited at least locally. Now, a little caveat here, the exploitation has to happen by having the application execute PHP code. So in this case, the attacker already has to have access to load PHP code into the web server, which is probably more of an issue for shared web servers. However, the author of this blog post also promises to soon demonstrate how this can be done remotely. So we'll wait for that and see how realistic these attacks are. I think at this point, it's still easier to find bugs in the PHP application itself. However, of course, these bugs can then be escalated using this vulnerability. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.